It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Gene Purcell, in today for Rob Ferret. If you've seen the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, then you're familiar with the fictional idea of forgetting traumatic memories. In the movie, Jim Carrey erases his ex-girlfriend, played by Kate Winslet, from his memory.
Here's a clip from the movie. It's an ad for the treatment Carrey opts for to forget his bad relationship.
Why remember a destructive love affair? Here at Lacuna, we have perfected a safe, effective technique for the focused erasure of troubling memories. Our patented non-surgical procedure will rid you of painful memories and allow you a new and lasting peace of mind you never imagined possible.
That idea of erasing memories has always been in the realm of fiction until now. New research has indicated a drug that may be able to help people forget old and traumatic memories.
We have an expert to break down the research and explain how it could one day be applied to our everyday lives. Joseph Stromberg is a science, technology, and environment writer for Smithsonian Magazine. Joseph, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me on.
So it seems like science fiction, a drug that could help people forget traumatic memories, but it looks like that could be a reality one day based on some research that's just out. What do we know about the drug so far?
Well, the research, I should say it's very preliminary, but essentially a team of neuroscientists at MIT have found that this drug can help mice loosen the hold of long-term traumatic memories and dislodge them with more recent memories to reduce the trauma associated with these.
Do we know how it works yet?
Yeah. So they have a rough idea of how it works. Neuroscience is obviously very complicated, but the scientists had observed that in mice, the ability to forget memories, to replace them with new ones, something that they call neuroplasticity, involves the use of proteins that attach to our DNA, to the DNA in brain cells. And so the drug essentially interferes with the way these proteins, which are called histones, attach to the DNA, and in doing so, they artificially extend the period of neuroplasticity. So I know all that sounds complicated, but the basic principle is that both mice and humans, we can forget traumatic memories if they're very recent, but if they're not dislodged within a short time period, it seems that they solidify in our mind. And so what the drug does is it extends the period that we can forget a memory for. So in mice, these periods are pretty short. So normally a mouse won't be able to forget a memory if it's even just a month old, the traumatic memory. And so what this drug does is allows them to forget month-old traumatic memories. And they're hoping that this might eventually be useful in humans with PTSD.
Interesting. So basically, you're not giving the memory a chance to solidify in your brain, to really attach itself. You're opening that window or widening that window, the time that you have to kind of go in there and do some intervention and maybe get rid of it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so just to kind of explain how that works with humans right now, maybe a war veteran who's experiencing PTSD, one of the common types of treatment is called re-exposure therapy. And so that kind of therapy, what it hopes to do is dislodge recent traumatic memories. And so it does that by you would expose the person to the same sorts of stimuli associated with the memory in the first place. And so a lot of places are doing this using, they'll have a veteran come in and put on a pair of virtual reality goggles and re-experience what it's like to be in war. But with the knowledge that nothing bad is actually going to happen during this trial, there's no chance that they'd get hurt or that their, you know, friend might be killed. And so in doing that, it seems to dislodge the memory and reduce the trauma associated with it. But this only works on very recent memories. And the hope is that someday, using this kind of drug, you could do the same re-exposure on older memories and have increased effectiveness.
So obviously this is very preliminary. It's only been done in mice. But, you know, if we think about how long a memory may last, do you have any idea how far back we could go to reach memories that are old and rid of them?
It's really hard to say. I mean, as I mentioned in the mice, they were able to work on month-old memories, which doesn't sound like much, but normally a mouse is only able to dislodge day-old memories, and so that's a factor of 30. Obviously, you can't do the same kind of rigorous testing on humans. You can't give humans traumatic memories on purpose like they do to the mice. And so the data is a lot thinner. but it does seem that it could extend the period, maybe up to a couple years. But again, it's really preliminary work right now.
So I'm guessing it's not as though the memory is obliterated, like someone has gone in and surgically removed a piece of your memory. Is it just that the memory gets kind of defanged?
Yeah, I think that's a better analogy for it. I mean, it's very hard to say because we can't interview the mice who are participating in these experiments. But the idea would be that you'd still remember, okay, one time I had this traumatic memory of going to war or whatever it might happen to be. But the unconscious trauma that's associated with it that plagues people for years and brings anxiety into their lives, that would be disassociated from the memory. And they'd be able to replace it with a more benign association. It's not as though, you know, you're artificially forgetting. It's more that you're reducing the trauma associated with a memory.
Is there a downside to losing our memories? Maybe not losing them, but to going in and tampering with the memory as we know it?
Yeah, I think this is admittedly very experimental work, and I think that it's going to be some time before we see trials or, you know, a drug being brought to market, anything like that. It's really hard to say what the downsides might be now, but I think the researchers, well, first off, this team of neuroscientists, they're not interested in developing a commercial drug. They're doing this because they're trying to find out more about how the brain encodes memories and about the types of things going on at the molecular level. But even if they were to lend this data and the molecule they've been using to a pharmaceutical team, I think that they'd take this very slow, do more testing in mice and other animals before seeing how it might affect humans. However, one thing to note is that the actual drug they used to interfere with the way the DNA is expressed and give this extra window of flexibility to the brain, enabling it to forget, that's the same drug that's been used in some cancer trials. So it has been, humans have been exposed to it, not with the intention of trying to help them forget traumatic memories, but just because interfering with the way DNA is expressed happens to be a really good way of trying to stop tumors from forming and stop uncontrollable cell growth that defines cancer. And so I think the fact that this drug has already been used in some human testing makes it a little more easy to imagine that we'd be able to see testing out on traumatic memories eventually.
Now, it's obvious to think about, you know, a group like the Army using a drug like this on soldiers, but I can imagine that there are lots of people out there who have something horrible in their past that they would like to forget. Maybe it's sort of banal, but it just sort of bugs them. Maybe they threw up while they were giving a public speech, or they, I don't know, tripped and fell down in front of someone they were trying to impress. Do you see it having sort of broader commercial application like that?
Yeah, I think it could. I think it's true that a lot of people do suffer from PTSD or just anxiety associated with memories that could benefit from this drug. I think the important thing to remember is the mechanism that even just theoretically you'd have to use this is during re-exposure therapy. So if I had given a speech and it had gone awfully and I'd thrown up everywhere, to try to use this drug to reduce the trauma and anxiety associated with that memory, I'd have to somehow re-experience that event, re-experience the stimuli that were around me while taking the drug. And who knows if that would, you know, take the form of the virtual reality goggles like they're using on some war vets, or maybe even just giving a speech again. But the important thing is that to select whatever memory you're trying to weaken the hold of, you need to re-experience the same stimuli.
So basically you have to be working with a therapist, sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. I think this drug, if it ever came to market, would be used by therapists. I don't think it's something that people would go home and take on their own. I think it would be used as a tool in a suite of other methods used by therapists currently to just make re-exposure therapy and other types of therapy more effective in dealing with PTSD and traumatic memories.
You can imagine philosophers looking at this, if it were ever to become a pill that you could take in conjunction with therapy that would defang your memories, saying that these dark things are sort of what it means to be human, and if we're going in too deep and getting rid of all the pain, we're losing part of our humanity. Do you see that as being sort of a big existential question that looms if this gets developed?
Yeah, I think that definitely would be part of it. I think if you ever had a program where you were trying to force this on people, that would be awful. I think for a lot of people, negative memories and bad things that happen to them are just as much a part of who they are. That being said, I think that there are some people who suffer so much from anxiety and from PTSD that this could be helpful for them. You know, it's easy to say that the bad memories are part of who you are if you're not suffering from all the symptoms of PTSD and having them interrupt your life. And so I think this would be an option, not for anyone who just had, you know, some mild negative thing happen to them once, but people who are truly suffering on a daily basis, more of a, you know, a last-ditch kind of option.
I want to go back and talk a little bit about the trials in mice. Now, you mentioned that it broadened the window to a month that the mice could lose this traumatic memory. Could you tell me more about the trial and how they conducted it?
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, in previous work, the way that they've shown mice have this short window of forgetting, just like humans, is basically they take mice, you know, a commonly used animal in lab tests. They put them in a special type of chamber, and they play a distinctive tone, a sound. And then a second later, they shock the mice. And so what they found is that if they do this, the mice associate this sound, the tone that they played them, with being shocked and the pain involved. And so then they know this from later on. If they expose mice to that same tone, the mice will exhibit behaviors that show they're afraid, that they know they're about to be shocked. So they'll either freeze up or they'll scurry to the corner of the cage. And the researchers who deal with them know that this is clearly the mice expressing fear. And normally, if you do this thing, you play the tone and shock them. And then a day later, you just play the tone a few times without shocking them. They'll learn, okay, this tone doesn't always mean I'm about to get shocked. And they'll stop being afraid. But if you do this and then wait a month and then play the tone, it seems that the memory is solidified. You can't be dislodged, and they keep freezing up every time they hear the tone, even if you play it over and over again without shocking them. And so the new thing that came in this experiment was they played them a tone and shocked them. They waited a month, and then they gave them this drug that interfered with the way the brain encodes memories, and it artificially opened this window. And so now, normally, if you a month later, if you were to play them the tone, they'd keep scurrying or, you know, being afraid, demonstrating that they associated that tone with trauma no matter what you did. But the drug allowed them to disassociate those two things. And so if they gave them the drug and then they played them the tone a few times without shocking them, the mice finally realized what was going on, that the tone doesn't necessarily mean they're about to be shocked, and disassociated the trauma from the memory. And so the analogy would be that, just like in humans, how exposure therapy works, if the memory is fairly recent, this drug could allow re-exposure therapy to work for a much longer period of time. And you could, like, as you said, defang some of the memories.
So how do you imagine that working in a trial with humans?
Well, I think you would have voluntary participation in a trial of people who are suffering from PTSD and traumatic memories and are looking for more options. And I think that you'd couple it with re-exposure therapy programs. So just like now, you'll have virtual reality goggles that put people back in the place of being in war without any of the actual negative consequences. You would do the same thing, but for some of them, you'd try using this drug, and you would compare how effective it was at treating their anxiety and their PTSD with the other group who hasn't used the drug.
Okay, so it doesn't sound so far-fetched. No electric shocks involved, so that's good.
Yeah, well, I mean, and to note, for humans, you wouldn't have electric... I mean, that's an artificial way to, you know, induce trauma and anxiety in mice. But you certainly wouldn't want to be doing that for humans.
Well, could this research eventually lead to other memory erasing drugs, maybe something that's similar to the treatment in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
I think that's a little more far-fetched. In that movie, if I remember right, the company that's working on this is able to go into the brains of the main two characters and, you know, pick specific memories that they want to erase, pick other ones they want to leave. And I think that we simply don't understand well enough yet how the brain works and how memory works to, you know, associate different parts of the brain with different specific memories. And so the handy thing about this is, by using re-exposure, you're kind of selecting the memory based on associations and stimuli that you know occurred from the real world, like putting on virtual reality goggles to simulate war. But I think that being able to pick any memory you want selectively, like in the movie, is well beyond the reach of what we're able to do.
What are the next steps for the drug?
So I think, as I mentioned, these particular researchers are going to be using this drug to probe how memories work in mice they're not interested in developing a drug for market right now. And so they're going to be trying to see if maybe the drug has even can open up the window even more than a month in mice, if it can work on other sorts of memories, non-traumatic, things like that. I think it's possible that another team of researchers, maybe from a private company, you know, could step in and try to develop it more towards a human application, but that's not immediate.
Well, it'll be an exciting thing to watch coming down the road, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting.
All right, Joseph, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
We've been talking with Joseph Stromberg, a science, technology, and environment writer for Smithsonian Magazine, about new research on a drug that could one day help you forget traumatic memories.
And now we'd like to hear from you. That idea of taking a drug that would help you forget long-term traumatic memories, is that something that appeals to you? Why or why not? Do you have a memory that you could erase if you could, or do you think that there's value in having bad memories? Do bad memories make us human? Call in and let us know what you think at 800-642-1234. That number again is 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email at talk@wpr.org.
Would you ever take a drug that would help you forget long-term traumatic memories, or are your painful memories part of who you are? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234 or like us on Facebook. We only need 5 more likes to reach 1,000. All right, let's go to the phones right away. Lynn is with us in Rudolph. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Yes, I would just like to say from my own personal experience, I have a traumatic memory. It involves a family member in a estranged relationship, and it is something that has played over and over in my mind every day. And just recently I've been able to at least get through, you know, a few weeks without thinking about it. It really interferes with my daily living and with my quality of life, and it's almost like I sometimes am detached from the present because I'm so obsessed, I guess, with this painful memory.
Right.
And if I had the opportunity to not completely erase it, but to just lessen its hold on me, I would be more than willing to try something like that.
All right. Thank you, Lynn, so much for that thought, and good luck as you work through dealing with your memory.
We've got some other calls, too, people who would like to join in. We go to Madison right now, and Jake is with us. Hi, Jake.
Hey, I got stabbed 5 times in my left arm 20 years ago, saving a woman's life. And, God, I have thought about it every single day, if not multiple times in one day. And I would just love to forget about it, never even have to think about it again.
And it's gotten to the point, it sounds like, where several times a day it actually interferes with your life a little bit.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, well, when I got stabbed, of course, you know, there was a lot of blood. So if I'm watching a TV show and there's a lot of blood in it, I have to turn it off and walk out of the room. I have gone to counseling and therapy, and it just won't go away.
Jake, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate the insights.
And we go next to Al. Al joins us in Milwaukee. What about you, Al? Would you be interested in a drug like that?
Yeah, but my first thought was the possible danger with having forgotten a memory that taught you something. I listened to you guys reference that movie with Kate Winslet about the love affair that was destructive. And, you know, you could erase those memories. But if I erase those memories associated with that relationship, what would keep me from doing it all over again or entering into that type of dynamic
over again? That's the philosophical thicket, I think, that we're in. Thank you so much, Al. And Al is putting his finger on some of the things you have to think about when you think about getting involved with your memories.
It's complicated, and it kind of reminds us of a quote we have on Facebook from Dennis. I can see where this would help some people, but as bad as some of my memories are, I wouldn't change them. They're pieces of me and make me the awesome guy I am today. So there you go. Thanks for that, Dennis. And we go to John, who's with us from Broadhead. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. My whole view, it's just basically what everyone else has been saying. Al hit it pretty square on the head. You know, some people, if you can handle it, if you can cope with what's happened to you, I think it does build your character and make you a stronger person. But in the same sense, if it's something that was so bad that it's interfering with your daily life, such as, you know, you can't watch a certain TV show, or it just detaches you from reality where you just space out for hours just thinking about it, then maybe you need something to at least lessen its hold on you, of course.
John, well, thanks so much for the comments, and unfortunately, that's all we've got time for. You can continue the discussion on Central Time's Facebook page, where we've got just 5 more likes to go to reach 1,000 likes, and we'd like to hear from you. So if you've got a comment, post it, and then like us on Facebook.